This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. General at your service. There he is, Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. The majority of Oxnard training camp has expired. Yesterday was their last padded practice. They're flying to Denver today, and they will have one light practice next week before they head out and take on the Chargers. So a lot of the media is coming home, including our own Bobby Belt, and now we're preparing for the preseason part of the preparation for week one. Okay, what you have here is your friend David Hellman, your former friend at DallasCowboys.com.
He's at Fox Sports now.
He's gone over to Fox Sports. He has your All Oxnard Awards. Okay, so we can talk about the guys that he has awarded, and then maybe, you know, some players that we would have nominated,
like,
or how we could have done things a little bit differently.
Sure.
G-Bag Nation. Surprise star here. He has been public enemy number one among Cowboy fans for a while now, but check your preconceived biases at the door. Cornerback Anthony Brown has been one of the most consistent bright spots at this camp. Brian, last year, other than the Tampa and the Raiders game, Anthony Brown was outstanding. Do you think he makes that leap this year into one of these corners that's recognized league-wide, not just maybe by some Cowboy fans at this point, as being one of the better corners?
I know we did June radio where you don't have a lot of things to talk about, and we did a lot of those lists where it was, let's break down the metrics of certain players. Wasn't Anthony Brown top three corner with a lot of the metrics when it came to rating against?
Yeah.
Passes defensed.
Yep.
So I feel like that he is going to lead the team in interceptions. I think he's going to. And remember when,
that's bold,
when we did that interview with him, I was glad we got to do it. But
you were fanboying.
I was really fanboying, yeah, because I feel like that he is going to, him and Armstrong are two guys I'm really counting on to have big years on the defense. So I'm not surprised that Hellman. I think people talk about Michael Parsons, and you can watch the clips. If whoever you follow, the John Machotas, and everybody's showing you clips of Michael Parsons running around Terrence Steele. You know, you're seeing those, and you know,
yeah,
Clarence Hill is like, oh, there's no doubt about it. You know, Michael Parsons has been outstanding. But when you look at down after down, practice after practice, you know, Anthony Brown, I think, has been outstanding.
Well, maybe Mike will be in consideration for the MVP of training camp in Oxnard, but Anthony Brown is your surprise star of 2022 camp. And I don't know, you know, does this compare a little bit to Orlando Scandrick? By the way, we saw it practice last week.
We did.
You know, Orlando was a guy that the fans hated, and you didn't get along with terribly well, but around year six or year seven.
Did the fans hate him, really?
Some of them did, yeah.
Because I feel like the media was saying, hey, he's not talking to us, he's not our guy, and the fans were like, well, he sounds like a grouch to us.
There's some of that. Maybe the media conditioned him, but I think he struggled early in his career to a point where...
Fair enough.
Where, you know, maybe some of it was personality-based, but other criticisms were, you're not good enough, right? And then he got an extension 1 year, and it's like, based on what? He hasn't even started. This is like 2012 or 2013. And then in 14, 15, 16, he was like one of the best players on the defense. It just took him a while to get there.
Boy, I tell you, he and I went round and around a lot of ways, and I don't blame him for being mad at me a lot, but there were times when you watched him play in the slot, he was really good. And you watched him blitz from the slot.
Yeah.
He was really good.
He was.
So
there was 1 year he didn't give up a touchdown.
No, I feel like that, boy, I wish, I just kind of wish, though, that we'd have seen, you know, a little bit more competition. And yesterday was a good day for Kelvin Joseph. I wish there would have been more competition where he would have pushed others. He'd have pushed Brown, and then Brown would have pushed Jordan Lewis for that slot spot. Because I think Anthony Brown is a really good slot player, too.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, I think he's better than Jordan Lewis in the slot. I think this is just more of a complete guy. Scandrick, complete guy. I think Anthony Brown, similar type of traits.
All righty, G-Bag Nation, we have your All Oxnard Awards here. Actual best player in camp, All due credit to my buddy Chill of the Star Telegram. I tweeted Monday that Brown was the best player at this Cowboys camp, and he called me on it. Through 2 weeks, it's fair to give that nod to Micah Parsons, who looks like a guy who's about to pick up where he left off last year. Hard to judge big guys at training camp because the play is never blown dead when the pass rush gets home. QB always gets a chance to extend a play and find a receiver, which makes it hard to judge how effectively the defense is at disrupting the passing game. But Parsons' impact is impossible to miss.
There's no question. I mentioned those little clips that you get from camp. You know, Dak is trying to avoid a sack, and Steele is, you know, giving up the edge. And, you know, that's the thing. And the funny thing about it is Parsons, he seems to do it without any effort. It's just so easy for him to get around the blockers the way he's just that power. That's that quickness. He's due to have a great year.
And I think, you know, the longer it goes, the more people talk about the addition of Anthony Barr. You saw him yesterday on that left defensive end spot. He did a lot of his work last year in the right defensive end. I just think it's going to open him up for, where's their worst blocker? Micah's going here now. Like, you could do anything, you know, and now that you have help at right defensive end, you can tank off and put Micah out there for a couple of pass rushing snaps. Like, to me, like, the 14 or 15 sack area is in play, not because he's going to be rushing all the time, but because of how they're going to be able to use him to attack weakness.
I'll tell you what, I think that the addition with Barr is more about helping Van Der Esch with some coverage stuff and maybe a little less of their big nickel where they could do something else with Curse. The times that I watched Parsons rush and have success, Tank was playing as that three technique or that under tackle.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And so they were able to run a couple of twists, some games, you know, inside games, and they got Parsons freed up on the edge. There's a lot of creativity, I think, with this scheme, with what Dan Quinn can do. But to me, the addition of Barr, that's going to help with, do you need him to rush the passer or do you need him to cover? Because I think he could do both really well.
And I think Dan Quinn's going to thrive.
He will.
You know,
he will. He'll figure it out.
This is what really made his name in Seattle, is taking dangerous players and finding incredible spots for them to really be optimized on the field.
But to your point, I think you're absolutely right about finding weaknesses.
Yeah.
That's how you break these offensive schemes down. You break them down by saying, this guy can't block today. This running back can't block.
Yeah.
So let's attack that area.
I guess that's what I was going with. Like, you know, and I take your point about it helping Van Der Esch, but now you have a chance of having two good veteran linebackers on the field and have Micah Parsons available to go do whatever he wants.
Absolutely. When I was talking with some people on the coaching staff about Barr, it's like, listen, he can help Van Der Esch too, because we can actually keep linebackers. And then you put Barr on the field. Is Barr going to cover or is he going to blitz?
Yeah.
That's the thing you can now scheme.
You know, I just don't see a lot of quarterbacks on this schedule that are going to be able to handle that. I don't know if a lot of veteran quarterbacks are used to seeing versatility at the scale that the Cowboys can bring it with a defensive coordinator like this. I think it's a rare combination of players and coaching acumen. Elsewhere here on David Hellman's All Oxnard Awards, Mr. Rise to the Occasion. Well, I was calling this guy Mr. Oxnard before we arrived, and I'm reevaluating that. I went into camp saying, I don't care how well this guy plays in Oxnard, I'm going to have my arms crossed and saying, I'm waiting until the regular season. But then he went out and had by far his best training camp ever. Mr. Rise to the Occasion, Noah Brown, Brian.
How about Noah Brown? They needed somebody to step up. Noah Brown, six-year veteran, a lot of special teams. He's going to be your personal protector. We'll see how much extra, if he has to play more offensive snaps early, how much more special teams he's going to get to play. But he's your personal protector. He's a guy that covers on punts. You can put him on the kickoff return. There's a lot of things that you can do with Noah Brown. Noah Brown finally stepped up in a way where his practices, there wasn't any real drop-off. Every day that he went out there, he was making a play or two that got him even more noticed. And I applaud the guy, because last year I kind of felt like that he was probably going to be better than Cedric Wilson. And then my scout buddies with the team are like, no, Broadus, you need to keep an eye on Cedric Wilson. He goes, we really like Noah, but Cedric Wilson's the guy. maybe the lights come on for Noah Brown here.
That would be something. You know, there's opportunity not only with him, but I would have considered Simi Fehoko for Mr. Rise to the Occasion as well, because he does a great job going up and getting the ball.
He does.
Okay, Mr. Welcome Back, that goes to Brett Maher. It's been 4 years since he shocked the world by beating out Dan Bailey. He is back. He was cut by the Cowboys during that 2019 season that saw him miss 10 kicks. The tipping point late in the season when he missed 3 kicks across back-to-back losses to Buffalo and Chicago. He resurfaced in 21 when the Saints signed him temporarily for an injury replacement. Cowboy fans won't want to hear it about a kicker who caused them such anguish, but Maher did a serviceable job in New Orleans. In 7 appearances, he did connect on 16 of 18 kicks, and one of those came from 56 yards. So maybe Maher can be better this time around, but it's always going to be exciting. You know, either we're going to be talking about, I can't believe they neglected the spot again, or holy crap, did you see Brett Maher make a 65-yarder for the game?
I think what killed fans with Zuerlein was the missed extra points.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Don't be the guy that all of a sudden we're lining up for an extra point and you decide you want to miss it. Zuerlein missed so many of those last year. And I think that's ultimately what got him, you know, sent away.
Yeah.
That he just couldn't hit the extra points, you know. But this guy can hit big field goals. He's done it before. He's won games for the Cowboys before.
But, you know, to me, it was the missed PATs. And on top of that, though, it was the banana ball that we've all seen off a golf team.
Yeah.
And if it happens that consistently, I know you're not striking the ball solid enough consistently. And it was like even the best of kicks would have this weird English on them and just take a big right. And all of a sudden, it was a horrible miss. And I'm glad they've moved on from Zuerlein. But it seems like they're just trying to kick the can down the road way too often with kickers since Dan Bailey left. Most fun competition, Cooper Rush versus Will Grier.
I like this.
Okay.
That's good. That's good insight right there.
Most terrifying competition, Maher against Hyrolahu.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want most of that. Strongest position groups. These awards are made up anyway, says David Hellman. Take your pick between the Cowboys' defensive line and their secondary. Everybody's come around to what you've been telling us for 4 months now, that the defensive line was going to be their strongest group, Brian.
Saw that in the OTAs and the minicamp. I just love the way this group works, and I love the way they're coached.
Got a lot of good players in there. Holy cow. You know, Dante Fowler, DeMarcus Williams, Dorrance Armstrong, DeMarcus Williams, Sam Williams, DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah.
Quentin Bohanna, Ridgeway, Hill.
Yeah, I mean, so there's several of them, yeah.
Okay, struggling position groups. What's the group you're most worried about right now, Brian?
It's not the wide receivers anymore. I think the offensive line. There's been some struggles with that, you know, I keep mentioning the right tackle in the clips where you see where, and I know Parsons is going to run by everyone, so I just don't like the fact that thing is not stable like it needs to be right now.
Yeah, Hellman mentioned both the receivers and the offensive line with the struggling position groups. He called it a tie. Yeah, I think it's fair at receiver, although I think Tolbert's going to be good. I think by year two, he could be better than Gallup. Okay, I've come around on Tolbert pretty good.
The fact that Simi and then Noah stepped up.
Sure.
And I'm believing that Gallup is not going to be too long. That's my belief right now. So if that's the case, you get all those guys going the right direction, I think you'll be fine there.
Best newcomers, the first three rookies, Tyler Smith, Sam Williams, and Jalen Tolbert. And there you have it from the keyboard of David Hellman, Fox Sports, the All Oxnard Awards, G-Bag Nation. Yeah, they're heading to Denver tomorrow or tonight, and they'll have a full situational practice tomorrow that's going to be the biggest indicator. So we'll definitely be, you know, all over Cowboys
Monitor
Twitter
that.
Tomorrow
yeah.
for you, and Brian's going to be talking to his sources on the team and in the media to get the absolute scoop, because tomorrow's a huge test for the offensive line. We've been seeing the defensive line whoop them quite often, and we are wondering, is this defensive line so good that the O-line can't handle them, or has the O-line taken a significant step back from last year? And this will be our first opportunity to start evaluating these guys against different players. So excited about that. Excited about what's coming up next with you as well. We'll talk some Mavs at 3:40. But key free agents for the 2023 class, who are the biggest names the Cowboys will take in El Paso on next March? It's next for you here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.